I'm reading the Times newspaper, the daily version of the Sunday Times today. Such an interesting little conservation story, and it fits in with my great love for birding as well. It is a project known as the Linkunku Project, and the idea is to plant several fynbos gardens at school across the Cape Flats that will act as filling stations to provide nectar for the nectar feeders, the sunbirds and the sugarbirds, which inhabit the Western Cape Peninsula. Linkunku. How am I doing there, Obi? Linkunku. Help.
I think it's
Inglung. Okay. Inglung. It's a Xhosa word that means long-billed birds or royalty. Bongani Mnisi is head of nature conservation for the city of Cape Town. Hello, Bongani.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you wear jeans with holes in?
Well, during weekends, I certainly do that.
And you actually bought a pair of jeans with holes in?
Actually, my boss last week, she was, telling me she's fascinated by my jeans because, you know, I bought them broken, but they had patches on them.
And you took the patches off so you could get back to the holes. Anyway, let's talk about the Inkunku project. Is there a shortage of nectar for the nectar-feeding birds, like the orange-breasted sunbird, the southern double-collared, and the sugarbirds?
Well, I think the answer to that is that there isn't any shortage, in the mountains areas where you often find them. But if you imagine Cape Town in the 1900s, you would, imagine that there was a connection between the Table Mountain Range to the Boland Mountains. So the birds were able to traverse across these two mountains, and there were areas where they could stop and have nectar. But a beautiful city like Cape Town, to make it work, you need roads, you need all kind of infrastructure. But in doing so, you end up disturbing the habitat that supports these birds.
And so the idea is to provide a corridor through the areas where that natural indigenous vegetation has disappeared to make way for urban development and allow the birds to move from one side of the peninsula to another and have feeding stations on the way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's probably not as simple as that. But if you think about you traveling from here to Johannesburg, no matter what kind of a car you have, you can't really get there unless you have to fill up along the way. So for birds, often they need to exchange blood. They need to, pollinate various species across the fynbos biome. And to do that, they really have to have these unfragmented areas where they, their habitat is not broken in that. But today, many cities have realized that they've actually damaged the environments where wildlife is able to flourish, and they're beginning to put the net together by restoration of ecosystems to try and bring back nature. But what we thought of doing in this case is not only to go and say, let us just do a science research project, but we say, let us also bring in kids that can become biodiverse leaders of tomorrow. And that's why we then involve school children, in this study as well. So it was very interesting in that sense.
So there have been at four high schools have had these plants there for a couple of years. And then this week you're planting those bird pollinated plants on the grounds of Musenberg, Lavana, Prince George and Steenberg primary schools. And your prelim, I understand you said it's small beginnings, but there is evidence that the Cape White Eye and Southern Double Collared Sunbirds and Malachite Sunbirds are being seen in greater numbers on the grounds where these plants have been planted.
Indeed, John. I think what's very interesting also is to say that many people have actually reported to us saying that even if they have one flower, say for instance you have an aloe or you have a watsonia in your garden, you would see this orange, the southern double-collared sunbirds. Now what that suggests to us is that when you put nectar where it previously didn't exist, you would obviously start getting these birds coming to these gardens. And school grounds are often left bare, in many areas. Now imagine creating a nature reserve in all the school grounds. I mean, you have clinics, you've got prisons that some of them have got large grounds. Mm. Now, those were previously biodiversity areas. Now, if you revegetate them with appropriate species, you then, reintroducing the ecosystem as it were.
And you're noticing that the children are getting more interested, and that's critical. I mean, if you can send a child out into the world as a beginning adult with an awareness of and a love for conservation, the chances of them behaving in an ecologically responsible way as adults is that much higher.
It is very high. I mean, John, you know, you would tell me as well. I mean, you know, where did you get your interest of birds? I mean, was it, you know, when you're growing up, and what led to that interest? I mean, for instance, I grew up having to go to rivers, having to go to the wild, and I had that interest. But imagine kids that are growing up in Cape Town, where the whole entire area, they only get into a car, going to school, go to a mall. When do they get the moment to learn about nature? Now, not everybody can afford to go to Kirstenbosch or a national park, but if we bring nature to their schools, we're starting to reinvigorate the love for nature. Now you have an engineer in future, you have an accountant, you've got, you know, a medical doctor that understands nature. Then people are able to contribute in any way, you know, to protect environment, which is actually the sustenance of our lives. You know, this is something we cannot ignore going forward.
Bongani Mnisi, thank you very, very much indeed. I enjoyed that conversation. He's newly appointed head of nature conservation of the city of Cape Town.